Some years ago, I was asked to do a project on American education. In the course of that research, I kept coming across the same statement of purpose with regard to education. Education, as the current U.S. Department of Education website has it, is all about, quote, student achievement and preparation for global competitiveness. This is the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. Well, if the purpose of education is simply student achievement and preparation for global competitiveness, then it stands to reason that education will be entirely pragmatic, teaching skills, marketable skills, and that students' success will be a function of pragmatic, marketable skills. Increasingly, that's precisely the case. That's especially clear in the seemingly esoteric world of college entrance tests, the SAT and ACT. Both tests claim to measure, quote, college and career readiness. And schools, wanting their graduates to succeed, teach to the test, conforming their curricula to the practical and marketable skills measured on the tests. As a result of his Christian convictions, Jeremy Tate, who ran a company that helped students prep for the SAT and ACT, became disillusioned with the whole system and started a company to compete with the two giants of college admissions testing. Mr. Tate's classical learning test continues to gain traction, and it's the test Wyoming Catholic College is most pleased to see in admissions transcripts. Mr. Tate visited Wyoming Catholic College, and he and I spoke about the CLT. Tell us about how you became interested in college admissions testing.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jim. So back in 2014, I started working at Mountain DeSales Academy, which is a Dominican-run Catholic girls' school in Catonsville, Maryland. And I came on as their college counselor. Before that, I had worked in the public schools as an AVID teacher. So AVID works to get first-generation students into college. And it opened up kind of the whole new world of college to me. And around the same time, also started doing SAT, ACT prep tutoring, started an SAT prep company. So those two things together kind of got me interested in this arena.
Now, give us a little background. How did standardized testing for colleges even come up and why? I mean, it seems like it's a good idea, right?
Yeah, it's a really, really fascinating question. So the origins would really start with the formation of the College Board back in 1901. It wasn't, though, until 1926 that the SAT became a college admissions test. And it wasn't really utilized in a large scale until after World War II. Essentially, the GIs came back, and finally, for the first time really ever in American history, you had more people applying for colleges really than seats available at the time. Colleges quickly became very selective. The SAT became a useful tool to differentiate between potentially great students, great fits, or not. And so what's really interesting, though, is that the SAT rolled out as an aptitude test in 1926. They actually used what was previously the Army Alpha test in World War I. Talk about high-stakes testing. There was a test used to figure out if you would be on the front lines or back in intelligence prior to World War I. Really, that concept of aptitude testing became the SAT, and really it was the lone admissions test until 1959 when the ACT launched. Then CLT is kind of the late one of the game in 2015.
Now, you said you ran a company that helped high school students to prepare for the SAT and the ACT. It's interesting, the college I went to, Bates College, dumped the SAT and ACT decades ago.
Yeah.
Because they found out that everybody was using a prep service.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what's the point?
Yeah.
How did you become, I assume, disillusioned with those tests and with the whole prep process?
Yeah, so really, you know, started actually with conversion to Catholicism, which kind of derailed my career path. Started doing SAT prep really just to put food on the table for four kids. And so during that time, I really got familiar with the source material, the passages the College Board was using to put in front of millions of American students. And at times they were just kind of boring. But at times they were aggressively secular, very politically biased. I'm talking actually putting Bernie Sanders on the SAT, and that's what students are reading. Most people don't know this. And so I thought, wow, what a missed opportunity. Instead of reading Tolkien or Chesterton or Jane Austen or Frederick Douglass or MLK, they're reading, you know, this by, what a missed opportunity. So that was really the idea with the CLT, not so much admissions testing, but really this idea that testing inherently drives curriculum, it drives academic focus in America.
Now, how does the CLT differ from the SAT and the ACT?
Yeah, really a couple ways. So one of the main ways we differ, just source material. So we're putting students in front of some of the great Catholic intellectuals, anyone from St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine, all the way to people like Tolkien and Chesterton, St. Francis de Sales, a lot of Catholic saints on our author bank. Two-thirds of all of our test passages are drawn from an author bank. The other way that we differ is through being totally online. And so we give students the ability to take a college entrance exam that Wyoming Catholic College probably accepts. In fact, the second college to come on board with us from the comfort of their home. They can test from their living room, and it's all done through remote proctoring. That's really different. SAT and ACT are still paper-based, which is hard to access right now.
How do you do remote proctoring? That's a big question, yeah. Distance learning.
It's pretty wild. It's kind of big brother-ish, actually. You know, in some of our families, especially some of the more conservative Catholic families we work with, initially, we're like, this is weird. We love CLT, but like this is kind of strange. And so essentially, we don't proctor live. We proctor, we store videos. As the student is testing, they have to start off by hitting a button, and that allows us to see both their screen and also the student themselves that starts a video. That then gets uploaded, and then afterwards, we go back, and those videos are all reviewed. And about 5%, at times 5, sometimes as low as 2 or 3% of students get tossed out because it's some kind of a violation. And so we do try to have a really strict standard for students testing with integrity.
One article I read quoted you as saying that while you were at seminary, you, quote, became enamored with the way education was called formation for much of church history. How is formation different than our ideas of education?
Man, I think formation is happening right here at Wyoming Catholic College. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I mean, talking to these students. And in fact, when you think about how does a college justify their existence, what is the value prop a college has in the digital age? Because it used to be forever that the colleges, the universities basically owned access to knowledge. It's no longer the case in the digital world. And so what is the value prop? Well, the value prop is formation, but most colleges aren't doing that. In a place like Wyoming Catholic, it's kind of the what you specialize in. Students come here and they're fundamentally transformed, they're changed. They come back 4 years later and they're more mature, they're more responsible, they become more Christ-like and loving towards God and to neighbor. And I think that is because Wyoming Catholic is offering students an education that's rooted in tradition and honestly, far more reflective of the education that was really normative, I think, in the West for millennia until really the new wave of kind of secular progressive education took over America's schools in the first part of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Public schools initially were to create good factory workers.
Yeah.
Hence bells and lines and coffee breaks, recess.
Yeah.
And now we're just doing the same thing within a digital economy.
Yeah, yeah.
How does a college admission test, of all things, help us to move back to that kind of formation?
Yeah, it's really this idea, and I always use this analogy. Imagine for a moment that the SAT and ACT made a really startling announcement, and they said, okay, starting in 2023, there's going to be a mandatory French component on the SAT and ACT, right? If they were to make such an announcement, what would happen to American education, right? French immersion programs would blow up everywhere. French tutors would come out of the woodwork. Everybody would start to learn French because these tests dictate, drive, control what happens in the classroom. And so the idea with the CLT is on the most important tests students ever take, shouldn't students demonstrate their ability to read and understand the best of what has been thought and said? And so that's really the idea. CLT is a very mission-based company. Regardless of kind of the future of admissions testing, we really believe that through assessment, we can help students to focus on really the kind of text and authors and ideas that are really worthy of their time and their attention.
Well, a big complaint about SAT and ACT is that schools, quote, teach to the test. But you seem to hope, and I suspect you pray, that schools will teach to the CLT. Is that true? And if so, why would that be a good thing?
Yeah, so I think teach to the test, that concept itself can be a bit dangerous, but I think fluency with the great works of the Western intellectual tradition of the canon is what we're going for. And so if a student is familiar with reading text from, you know, let's say they're familiar with Chesterton, they're familiar with Dante, they're familiar with Catherine of Siena, they're gonna do well in the CLT. These kinds of texts are gonna be familiar. So I think we want to encourage a familiarity rather than, you know, precisely teach to the test. Especially on the math side, you see this. It's very prescriptive right now in the SAT and ACT. They want Common Core math done in the Common Core way. That's what SAT and ACT are doing right now. CLT, we're using the older questions. We have elements of logic on there that are not teaching to the test. So it may sound like, hey, you're saying to do the exact same thing, but I think really it's the difference between teaching to the test again and encouraging a fluency and a love for this tradition.
I remember taking SATs and SSATs before that, and all the analogies.
Yeah.
You know, this is to this as this is to what. And, well, they just don't do that anymore. That's no longer on the test.
None.
Therefore,
yeah, wow.
Nobody learns that.
Yep.
Why would they bother?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we talked to a lot of folks who don't realize that the SAT has no analogies. They took them all off in 2005. And then since then, they redesigned it again. And so, you know, for years and years after the SAT launched in 1926, they were saying, we are an aptitude test. Can't study for this. It's just aptitude. And now they are saying literally the exact opposite, that it is only an achievement test that measures mastery of the Common Core standards. So it's a 180. Really, the only two things about the SAT that have changed, stayed the same, is that it is still in English and that it is still called the SAT. But it is an entirely different test.
I was reading about this. Why would you measure achievement rather than aptitude?
Yeah, so CLT is trying to kind of really cut through the smoke and do a little bit of both. And so we have some of the hallmarks of aptitude testing on the test. We have logic questions. We have analogies. But at the same time, we want to reward students for their ability to read and understand these kinds of texts. That would be considered achievement. And so it's almost impossible. It's very difficult to have any test that is pure aptitude or pure achievement. Something like a puzzle would come close to being a pure aptitude test. Something like maybe a Spanish test would be a pure achievement test. It's something that you just learn. CLT is somewhere in the middle. What we're trying to say, we want to reward having read great books, your ability to speak that language and understand that language. But then also we want to understand who has those latent abilities, cognitive abilities that they can really showcase on a test.
The student at Lander Valley High School, been through the Lander school system, which is a very good school system, sits down for the CLT. How is he going, or how is he or she going to do on that test?
You know, public school students, we've had some great feedback that sometimes some of the passages, especially there's a section on the CLT that is philosophy and religion. And so there they may be reading, you know, Boethius or Dante or C.S. Lewis, and it may be pretty unfamiliar. I think other passages, though, they're going to be fine. I think on the math part, they're going to be fine. And so CLT is trying to, in some ways, you know, walk a tightrope. We want to encourage this kind of education and point people to the beauty of this tradition. We also don't want to offer a test. It would be totally unfair to, but I got to tell you, it's exciting when a public school student calls in or they email and they say, hey, what can I do to prepare for the CLT? You know, what we love to say is, here are some great authors, you know, get these books and read them rather than go take this prep course or go spend a whole bunch of money on X tutor. You know.
Mm-hmm. Has CLT begun to do the kinds of things that you'd hoped for when you got started?
I think so. You know, in some ways, CLT has been a really bizarre story. There's in some ways no reason it should have worked. You know, we had no money, no connections. It was just kind of a crazy idea of like, hey, if you change this one thing in education, if you change, you know, the college entrance exam, you could have some real success changing education with that. And so I think, you know, we want to see schools like Wyoming Catholic thrive. We want to see students fall in love with the beauty of this tradition. So yeah, we've gone from our first test we ever had. There was 46 students nationwide back in June of 2016. And then this past year, we had over 30,000 students test with us. And so it's grown a lot. And I think with that, the mission of what we're trying to do in the colleges, we're hoping to introduce students to.
All testing is pedagogical, writes Jeremy Tate. When logic, philosophy, theology, and ethics are missing from the most important test a student will take, students may reasonably conclude that those subjects don't matter. Then he goes on, quote, if developing virtue in our young people is the basic purpose of education, then the most important test they take in their lives, the college entrance exam, should reflect that purpose as well. That statement alone speaks volumes as to why, while accepting SAT and ACT, Wyoming Catholic College prefers that applicants have the CLT, a test that gives a much better picture of the student's strengths and abilities to successfully complete our challenging Great Books curriculum. For more information about the CLT, visit their website, cltexam.com. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tunkowicz.